Ride along each week as we share proven strategies to strengthen your business, energize your team, and create the business success you've been dreaming about. And now, here's your host, Rich Allen.
Are your rewards programs aligned with your performance expectations? Welcome to the Ultimate Business Tune-Up Podcast, where our one and only goal is to help you tune up your business so you can have the long-lasting success and fulfillment that comes from owning a solid, profitable, and sustainable business. Each week, we dive deep into a single topic related to improving your business, improving your team engagement, or improving your relationship with your customers. This week, I want to ask you about alignment. You know what that means, right? Alignment is the arrangement of things in a straight line or things being in their appropriate relative position. It also means a position of agreement or alliance. It's an important aspect of having a well-tuned business, just as it's important to have a well-tuned vehicle or a well-tuned body. If the wheels on your car are not in alignment, it'll pull to the left or pull to the right, and over time, your tires will wear down prematurely. If your back, or more specifically your spine, is not in alignment, you'll find it difficult or painful to stand up or sit down, and you definitely won't be able to play your favorite sport to the best of your abilities. Well, today I want to talk about alignment as it relates to your business. My specific question for you this week is, are your rewards programs aligned with your performance expectations? Just like the wheels on your car or your spine, if your rewards programs aren't in alignment with your performance expectations, you won't get the kinds of results and great performance that you need or should expect. Here's an example to help make my point. It's not uncommon for a business owner to give a holiday bonus to their team just before the end of the year. It's a very nice gesture, and anyone who receives the gift truly appreciates it. But when I ask, how was the size of the bonus determined? Or what was the bonus awarded for? I often get a response something like, I just thought it was the right thing to do. Or it's just what we've done every year. The reality is that the holiday bonus had nothing to do with business results. And if you were to ask the team members what they did to earn it, they wouldn't have a clue, because there's no alignment between the reward and the performance expectation. Or here's another example. It's not uncommon for many business owners to pay their salespeople a small base pay along with a commission percentage for every new contract or new policy or new deal they write. At the same time, that same business owner is frustrated because their employees aren't working together as a team. There's infighting and finger-pointing all the time. Yet they can't see that while their salespeople are rewarded for bringing in new business, their operations team or their production team only sees the new business as more work, with no related incentive or reward, other than being required to work overtime, oftentimes requiring them to work on the weekend. A commission structure is very me-centric, while the work it generates requires a we mindset. Again, no alignment. One more example. It's not uncommon for a business owner to set aside some profits to share with their employees. It's a beautiful concept and typically drives the right behaviors for the business. When it comes time to allocating the bonus money to their team members, they decide to give everyone the same or very similar amounts. That way, no one will feel like they got shortchanged in the deal. But the team members know that some of their coworkers never really put in much effort to make the business better. They were just along for the ride, and here they are getting the same bonus that those that work their tails off for the business are getting. How fair is that? So while the business owner thinks they're doing a good thing, their employees are frustrated, and the best ones decide to check out. Again, no alignment between the reward itself and the performance expectations of the business. Do these sound familiar? Here's the reality. If you're going to make the effort to reward the folks who work on your team, then you need to make sure the rewards themselves are supporting and incentivizing the behaviors that you want, need, and expect from your team. So just how do you accomplish this? Well, I've got two fundamental ideas I'd like you to consider. Number one, I'm a big fan of team rewards as opposed to individual rewards. That doesn't mean that I think everyone should share equally in the reward itself, but it does mean that I favor structuring rewards programs that get funded based on overall business results, which require the entire team to make it happen. I particularly like bonus programs that are based on a profit-sharing model, meaning that as the business achieves a profit, some portion of that profit is allocated to the bonus pool. This has the effect of making your team members de facto business owners. It's as if they have an ownership stake in the business where they earn a share of the profits. The problem with individual bonus plans or commission-based bonus programs are they're largely me-focused, not so much we-focused. High commission plans tend to trigger similar behaviors as someone who wins the lottery or has a gambling addiction. Once they get the high from the commission payout, they crave it again and again. And because these programs are typically individual in nature, the participant doesn't care much for what happens to the other team members. These are typically called eat what you kill type programs, and my experience has been that what gets killed is the teamwork culture of the business. That's why my number one idea is to structure your bonus or reward program around something it takes your entire team to accomplish. Idea number two is this. I believe the actual payout for any type of bonus or reward program should be conditional on how well each individual on your team performs their role in the business. Said another way, I'm not a fan of spreading the bonus pool like peanut butter on a sandwich, where the goal is to spread it evenly and on every part of the bread. Rather, I believe the distribution of the bonus pool should be lumpy, with some individuals getting more than the average and some getting less than the average. In fact, I'm okay if some individuals don't get any of the bonus payout if their contribution didn't warrant it. This may lead you to ask, how would you measure contribution? I'm very glad you asked. Here's an idea that's worth stealing or adapting into your business. Contribution can be measured in a two-dimensional matrix. On one single sheet of paper, draw a 5x5 grid, one showing 5 rows and 5 columns. The vertical axis represents the results that someone achieves, or in other words, what has been accomplished. You can label the 5 rows from 1 at the bottom to 5 at the top. Then add descriptions of the results for someone who's a 5, the top level, a 4, above average level, a 3, average results, a 2, below average results, and finally, a 1, unacceptable results. An example of the definition related to a level 5 on results might be something like always beats production targets, superior accuracy, eagerly learns new skills, regularly does more than expected, unquestionably dependable. An example of the definition related to a level 1 on results might be something like regularly misses production targets, requires constant oversight, not open to learning new skills, frequently not dependable. You can then create similar definitions for levels 2, 3, and 4 that give a clear picture of what performance at that level looks like. The horizontal axis represents the behaviors demonstrated, or in other words, how work is getting done. Do the same thing and label the columns 1 on the far left through 5 on the far right. Just as you did with the results dimension, use descriptors for each level of behaviors, the how things are getting done. An example of a level 5 on behaviors might read something like, finds ways to help others, provides excellent customer care, always has a positive attitude, constantly looking for and finding new ideas to improve efficiency and performance. An example of a level 1 on behaviors might read something like, avoids helping others, has poor or negative attitude, lacks the necessary communication skills, resists change, rarely participates in team activities. As before, fill in the definition of a level 2, 3, and 4 on the behavior side. With this, you have a simple performance matrix that can be used for any position in any business. It's simple to use and easy to understand. You can rate each team member by simply designating the box they're performing in on the matrix. For example, they may be a 4 on results and a 3 on behavior, or they may be a 2 on results and a 5 on behavior. The final step of building the matrix is to assign a percentage to each individual box on the matrix. I typically suggest that the 3 and 3 box, level 3 on results and level 3 on behaviors, should get a 100% rating. This means that someone performing at this level would get 100% of their share of any performance bonus pool. The percentage rating that I would recommend for the 5 and 5 box might be something like 150%, meaning that someone who achieves a rating of 5 on results and 5 on behaviors would get 150% of their share of the performance bonus pool. Likewise, the percentage rating for the 1 and 1 box should be a 0%, meaning someone who's performing at level 1 on results and at level 1 on behaviors should get 0% of the performance bonus pool. To be honest, that person should not still be part of your team. But my experience is that many business owners allow poor performers to stay on the team far too long and far too often. This way, if they do stay, but they didn't contribute to the overall results of the business, they should not participate in the rewards. So there's idea number 2. Build your very own performance matrix. When used alongside the profit sharing or bonus pool idea, this can create a very powerful and very aligned rewards program. I hope this makes sense. It's not as complicated as it might sound. It's actually very simple, and my experience has been that it's both easy for managers to communicate and easy for team members to understand. Use these two ideas to create solid alignment between your rewards programs and your performance expectations, and watch your team members come to life. As always, if you have specific questions or would like to bounce around some thoughts on this topic, please don't hesitate to reach out and ask. In fact, if you're intrigued by these ideas and would like to save some time, simply send me an email and I'll share with you the performance matrix template that I use with my clients. You can modify it to fit your unique business situation. And do me a favor, share this podcast episode with your fellow business owners. I know most business owners want to be fair and generous with their team members, but they struggle finding the balance between giving too much and wanting better bottom line results for their business. These ideas may be just what they're looking for. Thanks for joining me today. Be sure to tune in next week when we're going to discuss applying profit first to your business. You won't want to miss it. Meanwhile, if you have a question, suggestion, or would simply like to connect, shoot me an email at rich@tourtoprofit.com. Now go make it a great week, and whatever you do, ride hard.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Tune-Up. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, find more resources at tourtoprofit.com. and connect with Rich by sending a message to rich@tourdeprofit.com. Until next time, ride hard.